We are in the middle of a series about beliefs, and we've kind of talked about different kinds of beliefs. We've talked about the moment of belief. We've talked about the process of believing, how believing is a process. It evolves. But there are very many occasions where beliefs collide. In fact, throughout the history of our world, beliefs have collided. There's a couple stories I want to share with you that kind of bring home that point. Story number one, see, the content of belief is important. There was a visiting pastor who came in and asked a parishioner, "What do you believe?" The parishioner said, "Well, I believe the same as the church." And the pastor said, "And what does the church believe?" "Well, they believe the same as me." Seeing that he was getting nowhere, the pastor said, "And what is it that you both believe?" To which the parishioner answered, "Well, I suppose the same thing." Beliefs. Sometimes theological belief is a murky matter. You know, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of Christian denominations in our world today. There was a candidate for ordination as a minister, and he was asked, "What part of the Bible do you like best?" He answered, "I like the New Testament best." Then he was asked, "What book in the New Testament is your favorite?" He answered, "The book of parables, sir." They then asked him to relate one of the parables to the committee, and after, although a bit uncertain, he began, "Well, once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked the man. And he went on and met the Queen of Sheba, and she gave that man, sir, 1,000 talents of silver and 100 changes of raiment. And he got in his chariot and drove furiously, and as he was driving along under a big tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging here. And he hung there for many days and many nights. The ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair, and he fell on stony ground. And it began to rain and rain 40 days and 40 nights, and he hid himself in a cave. Later, he went on and met a man who said, 'Come in and take supper with me.' But he said, 'I can't come in, for I've married a wife.' And the man went out into the highways and hedges and compelled him to come in. And then he came to Jerusalem and saw Queen Jezebel sitting high and lifted up in a window of a wall. When she saw him, she laughed, and he said, 'Throw her down out of there.' And they threw her down. And he said, 'Throw her down again.' And they threw her down 70 times 7. And the fragments from which they picked up filled 12 baskets full. Now, whose wife will she be in the day of judgment?" The story didn't say what the committee decided, but I have hope. Beliefs. Beliefs that are colliding is like watching a train wreck. And yet it is so much a part of our society today. When beliefs collide, they can create divorce. Beliefs can collide when Christians who take absolute stands all of a sudden find out when it happens to someone they know very well, a wife, daughter, aunt, relative, that maybe it isn't so black and white. Maybe there is some gray. Or if a child decides that their orientation is not what the parents expect, it's all of a sudden not so black and white. There's some gray involved. Well, Pastor Bob last week shared some personal stories and testimonies of his own. And, you know, things that he said touched me. And I think with the idea of beliefs, I have some that I have to share also. Because there was a time in my not so distant past when I would attend church, after church was over and we went home to eat, I could tell whoever was at our dinner table exactly how much jewelry or how much makeup every person in that church was wearing that day. And that belief started to get a little bit shaken, and I remember the incident as if it were yesterday. We had a small group that met before the church service, and we had, and I'm not sure how she found us, but we had the a wife of a captain in the United States Army start to show up. Her husband was deployed, and she started showing up to our church. She was a Southern girl, because she talked strange. She said things like, y'all. And Southern women, something I've learned about Southern women, they dress to the nines. They like to look good. And so she dressed really, really well. She had some really cool-looking rich girl red lipstick. Her fingernails were painted. She had jewelry in her ears and around her neck. But she was coming to our small group, and she was loving it. And I remember the day, one day she came in weeping to our small group, sobbing. And we calmed her down and said, what happened? And she told us about one of the dear little old saints of our church who had met her at the front door that Saturday morning and had said, you've been coming here long enough now to know that we don't dress that way here. We don't wear that kind of makeup, and we don't wear jewelry here. Guess what? That was the last week she ever stepped through that door. It's judgment, and I had that judgment. I had judgment about what people would eat. I still make fun of my kids at school all the time. They get all freaked out that I'm a vegetarian. How could I be as old as I am and be a vegetarian? And I tell them every day or every time before Thanksgiving, as they're walking out the door and it's time to go, you know, the next day's Thanksgiving on that Wednesday, I say, remember, kids, you are what you eat. They're sixth graders. It makes a lot of sense. Also, judgment about what kind of beverages people would drink and what people would do on Sabbath. Now, I don't know if you can read this or not because it didn't blow up real well, but it says, this is an Adventist woman enjoying her Sabbath rest. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about, particularly if you've invited people over. I'll tell you what, for pastors, I don't care who the pastor is, what church he serves on Saturday, on a Sabbath, it is not a day of rest for a pastor. I remember hearing that Stephen Curtis Chapman celebrates Sabbath. Believes in the Sabbath, he celebrates Sabbath, but he goes to church on Sunday. No, I think it was Stephen Curtis Chapman. She says it's Steve Green. Steve worshiped on Sabbath. And when asked about it, he said, you know, I work so hard when I'm at church. I want my day of rest to be a day of rest. There's an interesting little story that I heard many, many years ago. It's about six men and an elephant. It's actually an old, I believe it's an old Hindu parable. So once upon a time, there lived six blind men in a village. One day, the villagers told them, hey, there's an elephant in the village today. They had no idea what an elephant is, so they decided, even though we would not be able to see it, let's go and feel it anyway. All of them went to where the elephant was, and every one of them touched the elephant. Hey, the elephant's like a tree, said the first man who touched his leg. Oh, no, it's like a rope, said the second man who touched the tail. No, 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 it's like a snake, said the third man who touched the trunk of the elephant. Oh, you're all wrong. It's like a big hand fan, said the fourth man who touched the ear of the elephant. No, it's like a huge wall, said the fifth man who touched the belly of the elephant. And the sixth man said, basically, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you. An elephant's like a spear, he said as he touched the tusk of the elephant. They began to argue about the elephant, and every one of them insisted that he was right. And they got more and more agitated. A wise man was passing by, and he saw this, and he stopped and asked them, "What's the matter?" They said, "We cannot agree to what an elephant is like." Each one of them told what he thought the elephant was like. The wise man calmly explained to them, "All of you are right. The reason every one of you is telling it differently because each one of you touched the different part of the elephant. So actually, the elephant has all those features, what you all said." "Oh," everyone said, and there was no more fight. And they all felt happy that they had been right. How many times in our culture, in the world's history, have we had the elephant in the room experience where one person is saying, "This is the truth," and you got someone over here saying, no, "The truth is this," and "No, the truth is this." Like I said, we have thousands of denominations, Christian denominations in the world. And how many of those denominations say, "Well, y'all, I'm glad you're here today, but, you know, we don't really think we have the truth here, but we appreciate you coming here and spending some quality time with us." No. Every one of them say, "Right on, you have chosen to be in the right place because this is where the truth is. If you want the truth, this is where you need to be." And sometimes I feel like they capitalize the word "the." If you want the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, this is it. No. Not so. Not of this church, not of any church. No church has all the truth. You see, tolerance of different people and ideas is what made America great. It was what started our country. Fleeing persecution, and because of what they experienced where they came from, they said, "We cannot be like that." Well, we became like that. But nevertheless, the founding fathers did not want us to become like that. But there comes a point in time when you need to draw the line in the sand between good and evil. Tolerance has its boundaries. 1965, Selma, Alabama. Bloody Sunday. Some of you remember it. Some of you are old enough as I am to remember Bloody Sunday, the civil rights movement. Monday, many of you don't have to go to work because it is a celebration of Martin Luther Jr. King's birthday and his legacy. And I showed this video to my class over the last 2 days. The video is called Selma, Lord Selma. And it is one of those stories in the 90 minutes of this video that shows the fight of the civil rights movement in Selma, Alabama, and how they were trying to be able to march from Selma to Montgomery to bring attention to what was going on in the South, what was going on through the United States. And, you know, sixth graders today, yeah, they love watching movies and that sort of thing. But when they can actually get it into their minds that this really happened, and there really was a guy named Jonathan Daniels, there really was a guy named Jimmie Lee Jackson, and there really was a guy named Martin Luther King Jr., it starts, they get tied in, they get taken into the story. And I watched that happen. I showed it to 3 different classes because I see 3 different classes during the day. And I loved watching the different personalities of each of the classes. For those of you who don't know, Jimmie Lee Jackson was a young African-American who was shot down in Marion, Alabama, trying to save his mother and his grandfather from being beaten by the police. One of the policemen there shot him. It just sent shockwaves through the whole country. It brought attention to the civil rights movement in the South. And not long after that, a white Episcopalian theology student who was down there to help with the movement was out trying to get people to sign up, register to vote African Americans, and a white Southerner who this kid thought was part of the Ku Klux Klan that he had seen burning a cross in the grounds of the church earlier, came walking up behind him and shot him dead. And to watch my class react to both of those, now it wasn't graphic, it's, I believe, G-rated movie, it's a Disney movie, but to watch my class react to both of those deaths, at one point, one class, six kids going, no, no! They couldn't believe what they had just seen. See, we had the collision of beliefs. The Southern belief that there is a difference between whites and everybody else. Whites got it, everybody else doesn't. And for the kids to watch there be a white drinking fountain and a colored drinking fountain, a white-only restaurant, a colored restaurant, restroom, on and on and on, and they just kind of sat there and, this couldn't happen. This can't be real. But that's what happens when we have collision of beliefs. Quite a few more of you were alive for this event. And you know what collision of beliefs this represents. You know, I remember then President Bush saying, this is a war on terrorism, a war that we must win. And I'm going, not a chance. We may see it as a war on terrorism. They see it as a holy war. And they will spend every last man, woman, and child fighting it. And you don't win wars like that. But it is a collision of beliefs. We in the West thinking we're right. They in the Middle East thinking they're right. We believing our cause is good and of God. They believing their cause is good and of God. Who's right? And then in our not-so-distant past, the experience just prior to Christmas at Sandy Hook. And we sit here, we shake our heads and going, what is going on in this world? How can the battle between good and evil, this great controversy between that which is right and that which is wrong, how can it take us to this place? So no, we do not tolerate evil. Jesus did not tolerate evil. If he saw evil, he acted. The money changers, those who were making profit off people who were trying to be repentant and have a relationship with God, Jesus acted. So we need to know the difference between what is an issue of salvation and what is not. See, conviction is standing for what is morally right so that you cannot be moved. You cannot be shaken. You know it's an absolute truth. And we need to know the difference between what is a moral issue and what is not. Now, in our history, we would say that is a moral issue. That was not right. The persecution of the early Christian church where Christians being either killed by wild animals or by gladiators just for the sport of those who were watching, we can call that evil. And we can be right. And today's confrontation that's going on, Islam versus Christianity, and how it's being handled, we can say that's not right, that's evil. Not saying Islam is evil. I'm saying the confrontation is evil. But on the opposite side, we've got issues like this. If you're pro-choice, you're a baby killer. Arrest somebody. Gays and lesbians are unnatural abominations. Stop them from getting married. Atheists are amoral agents of Satan. Put God in schools and the courts and show them we're a Christian nation. Somebody ban this obscene art exhibit. Now, I know you've heard this. I get emails like these all the time on those specific issues. But then you always have someone, and whether it's a child, whether it's an adult, but you have someone who steps and say, if you want to believe in God and teach your kids about Christianity, that's your right. Please just let the rest of us make